Joining the Colorado Ag News Network and Farmcast Radio over this month's interview with the National Association of Wheat Growers is its treasurer and Washington wheat grower, Nicole Berg, who lives in one of the driest parts of the United States, I understand. We'll be discussing several topics pertinent to wheat growers across the nation and here in Colorado. You mentioned to me that you were in the driest parts of the United States, and only one other place in the world is as dry or drier than you, and that's in Israel. But you get, what, 6 inches of rainfall a year is all?
That's right, Brian. Our average is around 6 inches. I can be as low as 3 inches of rain. And I've been told that by researchers from Washington State University. And so I'm like, I think my grandpa was asleep on the train when he came across the country.
I've always thought that with my grandparents as well when they came over. We're not much better than you. We get from 12 to 15 inches of rainfall a year. And this last week, we got 7 inches in 4 days. So in three different storms, but and a lot of hail too. But there's a lot of people struggling with the weather events that's happened this year, that's for sure. Now, I wanted to get your impressions regarding President Donald Trump and Japan Prime Minister Shinzo Abe signing that new bilateral trade deal at the United Nations on September 25th. It seems like that's huge news for U.S. agriculture, but just how big a win is it for U.S. wheat producers, Nicole?
Well, gosh, I think it's a huge win for U.S. wheat. It preserves access to over $600 million of wheat that we sell over to Japan. So it is a huge win. I think that also resolving some of these issues puts us more on a level playing field with Australia and Canada, some of our competitors, because they do have a tariff advantage before this agreement. And so this is a huge, huge win for the wheat industry in the U.S.
I understand with the new tariff agreement, once it's implemented, and I'll tell you more about the implementation, the timeline there, Japan's affected tariff on imported U.S. wheat will drop to the same level Japanese flour millers now pay for Canadian and Australian wheat. And speaking of that timeline for the implementation of that new bilateral U.S.-Japan trade agreement, the White House is aiming to implement the agreement by January 1st, 2020. This won't require any action by Congress. However, Japan's legislature still needs to sign off on the agreement, correct?
And another little tidbit, in the agreement, we go from 120,000 metric tons to 150,000 metric tons that Japan's promised to guarantee purchasing.
Well, with the depressed wheat prices, U.S. producers are really glad that they got the U.S.-Japan trade agreement to this point. And let's just hope that Japan's legislature gets it signed off on soon and it gets implemented here in the United States. Speaking of trade, Congress is still setting on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, which would even be a larger win for U.S. agriculture. But with all the turmoil in Washington, D.C. since the August recess, now over impeachment, do you think Congress will ever get the USMCA ratified? And what is the National Association of Wheat Growers doing to help convince members of Congress to get it passed now?
Gosh, Brian, you know, I sure hope they get it passed now. There is definitely some hurt on the countryside with these historical low wheat prices. You know, farmers are feeling the pain when everybody has a dip in the price, you know, and everything, but it's just we've had historical low prices for way too long. So USMCA needs to pass now, like you said. One of the things that wheat growers have done, we partnered with the Farmers for Free Trade. They did a rally in D.C. a couple weeks ago. We did have our wheat growers up on the hill telling our great story about wheat and trade. And USMCA needs to pass now. It's not a partisan, bipartisan issue. This is an American issue. This is an issue that farmers and the citizens of the U.S., we need to get it ratified and we need to get it passed now.
Besides the Farmers for Free Trade rally that took place, also on September 19th, USDA Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue was joined by his predecessors in Washington, D.C., and they submitted a letter and held a press conference, too, urging Congress to ratify the USMCA. Let's hope that gets done sooner rather than later. But it's hard to believe it was on November of 2018 when you and I last spoke that the USMCA was ready to go to Congress from the U.S. Trade Representative's office. So Congress has stalled the USMCA for nearly a year now.
Gosh, and it's just very unfortunate. And I hope that Congress can approach this with a bipartisan, listen to each other, and try to get this thing passed for the best of the USA.
My guest once again is Nicole Berg, treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers and Washington State Wheat Grower. In other trade news, on August 23rd, U.S. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue announced that the USDA's Office of the Chief Economist had published a detailed accounting of how they estimated the damages from trade disruptions with China and how that was calculated for support for farmers. And that was announced on July 25th of this year. Was the National Association of Wheat Growers content with the way the USDA calculated this round of MFP payments, MFP 2.0, and the rate by county on a per acre basis that was set? Because it seems as though there was a wide range that producers would be paid from $15 an acre to $150 an acre, once again, depending upon which county the producer farms. What was NOG's thoughts on the way they estimated and calculated those payments?
Well, the USDA's Office, the Chief Economist, developed an estimate of gross trade damages for commodities with excess retaliatory tariffs by China, India, and European Union and Turkey to set commodity price rates and purchase levels. USDA employed the same approach often used in adjudicating WTO trade disputes. I've heard an array of comments across the U.S. I mean, obviously the folks in the $15 county, $15 an acre county, were not completely happy. They would have liked to have seen the $150. You know, I think we're all grateful for anything that they can do to help us through these negotiations and to try to get into our next calendar crop year.
So for your county there in Washington State, did you look up what your payment rate was?
Oh, yes. My appointment's next week. That is something that I've noticed with the USDA. You know, with these payments, our staffing levels are kind of low right now. We are promoting that FSA needs to kind of beef up their staffing levels because we need to have premium customer service, and it shouldn't have to take a month for us to get in to sign up for these programs. But yeah, I was $15 an acre. There was some unrest across my county and across the state in those lower $15 an acre counties. But you know, like I said, we're grateful for what we will receive, and we just really would like to see the wheat prices go back up to $10.
Yeah, that's what all of us want. As for Colorado and the county that I live in, we're at $19 per acre. There was one county in our state that a lot of us were scratching our heads about, Fremont County. Not sure how much ag is produced in Fremont County, but they're at $45 an acre, and El Paso's at $30 an acre. So the range in Colorado was on the low end, but boy, you get into the southeastern part of the United States, those were where the rates were up to that $150 per acre level.
That's correct. And you all, we were, some of us are up in the Pacific Northwest, were kind of scratching our head thinking that they forgot us up here.
Sure. You can check out a full description of the USDA's trade damage estimation and the market facilitation program, as well as the food purchase and distribution program, at the USDA Office of the Chief Economist website, or go to farmers.gov. And that's all. Or you can also go to complete your application for the Market Facilitation Program 2.0. Once again, that's farmers.gov. The application is just one page. It's front and back. It shouldn't take too much of your time. And it'll provide you with some basic content information and specifics about commodities that have already been harvested to date. Several different ways to submit the application form to meet your needs. Once again, at farmers.gov, or simply contact your local FSA County office to learn more. Wanted to shift our attention to some upcoming National Association of Wheat Growers issues and events. You know what? Folks need to be thinking, 2020 Commodity Classic, that's coming up right around the corner. It's February 27th and 29th in San Antonio, Texas.
Yes, and I look forward to seeing all my fellow farmers across the U.S. to attend. The theme this year is See Your Future Clearly. I'm not sure I want to see $5 wheat very clearly, but I'm hoping we're going to have a great time down there and you know, talk different ideas and different ideas everybody can implement into their business plan.
You can check out a complete agenda and get registered online right now for the 2020 Commodity Classic, once again, February 27th to 29th in San Antonio, Texas, by visiting commodityclassic.com. I also understand that you have an upcoming trade mission trip to Africa this November. What's the mission and goal of that trip?
So it's in November. One of the missions and the goals of creating this trip was a grant through USDA. U.S. Wheat submitted the grant. It actually created a trade mission with rice, sorghum, and meat, and we're going into Kenya and Tanzania. Part of the reason I was asked to go on the trip was, number one, woman, and I've always said there's always a place for men and women in agriculture, But in Africa, I've been told that a lot of their food chain, their food processing, their food growing, is a lot of it implemented by women. And so wheat is sending three women, wheat growers, or wheat industry folks, to go over to Africa to, number one, see how is U.S. aid working? Is it working for the third world countries? Are we making a difference? And then the other one is my hope is that we can transition some of those third world countries or their food systems into some sustainability, so then they can actually purchase, you know, the products and these great safe foods that we have here in the U.S. that we grow.
That sounds like a fascinating trip, and I hope that we get a chance to visit when you return from the trip to Africa. Before I let you go, I know we've covered a lot and probably just touched on the surface of many topics. Any final thoughts before I let you go?
No, Brian. Oh, my gosh. It's been way too long since I've talked to you. I thoroughly enjoy talking to you. And anytime you have any questions, please feel free to give me a call. Or any wheat grower across the country, your National Association of Wheat Growers, we sit here and work for you. And we are here to listen and to try to help tell our great wheat grower story.
Those comments from my guest, Nicole Berg, treasurer of the National Association of Wheat Growers and Washington State Wheat Grower. The National Association of Wheat Growers, advancing wheat through advocacy, alliances, and innovation. Learn more online at wheatworld.org. And to learn more about your Colorado Association of Wheat Growers, a NOG member, please visit coloradowheat.org.